Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Around 750 million people live on the European continent. So what about it? What will its future look like? Will there ever be a United States of Europe? For this and more, you will hear from European thought leaders, artists, civil society representatives, and all those who care about its future. You will receive key insights into the ways Europe is changing and how your voice can be part of this. I am Paolo De Stilo, and you're listening to Europe Matters. Welcome, everybody. Today I'm joined by Valerie Sternberg-Idvani and Reinier van Lanschot, the co-presidents of Volt Europa. Before we delve into the conversation of how to actively engage in politics on a European level, I'd like to give you a brief introduction of our guests. Valerie Sternberg-Idvani studied economics and European politics in Germany, Italy and England. She has been involved with Volt since 2017, and in 2018, together with a 30-member team, she founded Volt Germany as a party in Hamburg, where she was also elected president. In 2019, she led the German Volt team through the European election campaign, where Volt won its first mandate in the European Parliament with Damian Buselager. And since the end of 2019, she's been co-president of Volt Europe. And together with Reinier, she's putting up the movement on track across Europe for the next European elections of 2024. She's also running the top candidate for Volt Berlin and a direct candidate for Berlin Mitte. Well, that's already an extensive bio. Now we're going to go also as well to Reinier. Depending on where you are at, Reinier is not from Germany, but he's from the Netherlands. And he's one of the founders of the Dutch division of Volt. For the ones who don't know, Volt actually got 3 seats this last Dutch national elections. So they're actually starting off having real impact, we could say, into national politics. He was actually born in France, and after studying law in Utrecht and Amsterdam, he worked for a startup that innovated legal services. He worked in different sectors. He also managed a supermarket in Lelystad. And from there, he then went to actually founding Volt Netherlands in 2018. So actually a year later compared to Germany. And so he was also the first chairman and becoming the party leader of Volt Netherlands for the European parliamentary elections. However, something happened. They didn't manage to get on the European Parliament just for not enough votes, but they did receive 106,000 votes, which gave them the head run and head start for having 3 seats in the national parliament last year. So there's also a lot of prizes that have been given to Reinier. So he's also a global shaper from the World Economic Forum. But before going on, I want to know more from both of you. How was it to get inside this party, and actually who founded it in the first place, the Volt in general? Because from what I read, it started off in 2016 after Brexit, because everybody was like, oh my God, Britain is leaving, the UK is leaving. So whose idea was it?
In 2016, I think the shock of Brexit was far-reaching and everywhere in Europe. And in the end, it was a group of Europeans from different countries in Europe, especially from France, Italy, and Germany. Damien being one of them, now our MEP, as you mentioned earlier, who said, okay, you know, Britain is leaving, but this is kind of a warning signal. It means people cannot identify with it, that people don't feel like they can relate to Europe, so they would rather leave than stay in it and in a community. Rather than leaning back and just watching it fall apart, the idea was to actively do something about it and to concretely map out a plan on how to reform European politics in order to save it. Maybe Ranier, you can add anything.
Yeah, I think part of the question was also how was it for us to get involved? Well, for me, it was an unexpected adventure. I hadn't figured myself becoming politically active or even quitting my job to volunteer full time for a political new political movement. So it was a process where I personally went miles outside of my comfort zone, from having an opinion about some stuff to actually standing for something and standing up for something and trying to convince others to look at the world in a similar way. That for me was an exciting adventure where you meet loads of new people and have a lot of different experiences. So all in all, it was in the beginning, I think the first year, best described in one word as an adventure. But what we're trying to achieve is not an adventure, but it's very concrete and real, and we have a concrete vision for where we want to be 50 years from now. And that's basically what drove me to that vision for the future of Europe, what drove me to become more and more active and eventually to this position.
Yeah, so, but there was also already kind of a European movement before, like others like DiEM25. And I was wondering whether are there any connections with these kind of movements around Europe and your party? Do you collaborate with them, for example, with Varoufakis or with other European thought leaders, we could say?
In general, I think what we're trying to achieve is our dot at the horizon is a European democracy, a European parliamentary democracy that's not a union of states, but a union of people. And we think that's the most effective way to address the challenges of the century we find ourselves in, to address climate change, for example. That European democracy cannot exist without European political parties, of which we are one. And my sincere hope is that there will be way more European political parties in the future with entirely different views from ours as well. So we can really bring politics from a national to a European level. And with that, I applaud all other initiatives that are along in the same direction in how they are organized, like ourselves, and such as DiEM25. There is no real collaboration between the two movements, but we do see that there's sometimes overlap, and here and there, there are connections, but there's no formal collaboration.
Maybe one characteristic that sets us quite apart from DiEM25 and I think all sort of endeavors of pan-European party collaboration before we tried this undertaking, sort of. So DiEM25 is a network of European parties, of already existing ones and newly founded ones. Whereas Bolt said from the very beginning, you know, we don't want to even start in a national setup. We want to start from a European setup and have all our members, no matter where they live and where they're from in Europe, they should be members of Vote Europa. So all of these members should have the direct right to vote for European policies. And that is the unique characteristic that other parties don't have in this way.
What you're actually doing is having a party in almost every member state, whereas in every country, everybody has their own national parties, right? But when you go into the European politics, into the European Parliament, everybody kind of votes a common kind of party, but you're not able to kind of vote for somebody in another country. So, for example, if I'm here in Italy, I cannot vote for a politician that is in Germany, right? And what you're trying to do is that kind of bridging that gap by already having people that are already in the same kind of mindset with the same party. Because my question was, do you have the same political agenda all over Europe, or do you also kind of tailor it to every country?
Yeah, I'll kick it off on this one. So you're exactly right. So we see ourselves as one European party and movement, but because of the way currently still Europe and the European Union functions, we are basically forced to found all these national parties according to the laws of the different member states. But still, we found a way to include all members that are national members of these national parties also as members in the mothership of Europa, so to say. With regards to policy, it's a great question. And I think this is where also, you know, this is where we actually try to go one step ahead and not only start negotiating European policies, for example, in the European Parliament, but start debating European policy within us already, within Volt. So sort of start to build and develop a European public sphere where people from all over Europe come together and understand, okay, what is our shared challenges? What is it that we all need to have answers for? And then try to understand what would be a European lens that would create a win-win for everyone. Now, of course, we really like writing policies. So our European mapping of policies is over 300 pages long. And but they're written as high level as needed in order for our national parties to then derive their national policies from that and adapt it to national specific situation and circumstances.
And how many parties do you have currently in Europe?
Yeah, so there's 16 political or legal entities in countries that can participate in elections. Why am I using a different way to describe it is because we see ourselves as one European political party. Maybe it's good to give a short overview. So Volt is active in 30 countries, all EU member states, the UK, Albania and Switzerland. We have around 20,000 paying members and 50,000 supporters. And of those 20,000, the largest part of those currently Dutch members, and the others are spread out, and then comes Germany, and the others are spread out over the other countries. And then I think we have 16 legal entities with which we can participate in elections. So in the other 14 countries, we're still relatively small, let's say 3 to 15 people that call themselves Volters, that see themselves as part of our community, that share our values, and that are trying to achieve the same thing. And besides that, we have about 60 elected representatives. So we have the one in the European Parliament, Damian Beuzelager, who's also one of the founders of Volt. Then we have the three people in the Dutch Parliament. And then we have 56 local elected representatives in Italy, Bulgaria, and Germany. So that's a rough overview of where we stand as a movement and what our current setup is.
Okay, so you're trying to spread around. Do you encounter a lot of difficulties when setting up the political party in the various countries?
Definitely. Yes, definitely. It changes. It varies hugely per country. So in some countries, you have these absurd democratic hurdles that are ridiculously high. So, for example, in Italy, to be able to participate in the European parliamentary elections, we had to have 150,000 signatures that were signed in the presence of a notary, which is like this massive hurdle. Or in France, you have to pay for the ballots, for the voting ballots yourselves, and have to spread them around to all the citizens. And then they use that ballot to vote for you. So only the cost of even participating in the elections there are almost €1 million, and that's a huge amount of money, especially for a young movement like ours, for which financial means are often the biggest brake on our growth. But if you compare it to the Netherlands, we had to, for the national elections, raise or get 750 signatures. That's a lot less than 150,000. And we had to pay €11,000, and then we could participate in the elections. So it varies hugely per country.
How was it in Germany, for example? Then we can kind of get an overview of the European ways of setting up a party, because that's also the interesting part of your initiative, is really trying to figure out how each country works, and then you kind of understand how the biggest hurdles, no? Right? That's also quite the fascinating part, I would say, from Volt, right? So, Valerie, how was your experience in Germany?
Germany, compared with other European countries, it's not like in the Netherlands, where it's very liberal, let's say, and very much and very favorable to smaller parties. But it's a fair way of dealing with small parties. So we have quite a rigid party law that describes quite into detail how the statutes need to be set up, how sort of founding assemblies need to be held, what bodies need to exist in a party, etc. So really to ensure democratic participation and also the subsidiarity principle, which is very important in Germany. But then the hurdle to actually be able to run, for example, for European elections was to collect 4,000 signatures, which for us at the time, being very small and at that time only having 200 volunteers, was a challenge. But I also like challenges, so I think it's fine too.
How many was that? 4,000 or 400,000? I didn't hear that.
4,000.
4,000, okay.
Yeah, but then at the same time, after that, you have this huge hurdle. Currently, on the 26th of September, we're going to participate in the German elections. And then you need 5% of the votes to get in the Bundestag. So that is a huge hurdle.
Do you think you're going to make it?
It will be a super high jump, and we will definitely go for it. It will be a super tactical election, I think, in a very, because a lot is on the play now that Merkel is retiring. The ones who are following German elections see that there is a lot of dynamic in there. So yeah, we are going to go for it. We're also trying to push, of course, our messages as much out there as possible. So also to already impact the other parties. And we will, on top of that, also go for direct candidacies. So this is the first vote, and it works after first past the post system, where then the candidate with the most vote of a constituency goes directly into the Bundestag. So this is also a part of our strategy.
When are these elections for our audience, so they know when to think about it? Because also another aspect of working on a European scale is that everybody has elections in a different time moment, in a different moment during the year. There's like all the time changes everywhere. So how do you manage that, for example?
Yeah, there's always elections somewhere. So this Sunday, we have elections in national elections in Bulgaria, where we're participating as well. The 26th of September will be national elections in Germany, and some local elections are part of that too. It will also be local elections in Lisbon, Porto, Coimbra, and the fourth city where we're participating. At the same time, the date is not defined yet, but around that same time, we have Naples, Roma, Trieste, Bologna, Florence, where we're participating in local elections as well. Then mid-October or mid-November, we have the local elections in Copenhagen, where we're participating. So lots of different elections coming up. Yeah.
And what are the reactions from other parties when looking at you at Volt Europa? Did you already have reactions from national or European parties?
Parties or people?
Whatever. Also parties. It would be interesting from parties if they have any reaction on what you are doing, but also maybe in important people looking at your endeavor, because they would be like, you're a madman or mad woman or whatever you would like say.
Yeah, I actually had such an experience in 2019 in January. We were not when one of the German political party leaders of one of the established parties told me, nice plan, but you're never going to make it. And then, of course, we were quite proud to have actually made it into the European Parliament. But yeah, I think with parties, I don't know really. Of course, they're fighting their own game now, especially in the Bundestag elections. But with people, there is a lot of interest now out there. So especially after COVID, but also, more in general, there's quite some frustration and quite some, will for change and will for or craving for something new and for a party or for people that, I don't know, sort of wind of change in the Bundestag, I think, is something that people would hope for. And with the established parties, I think it will hard to be able to provide that, because they have been established in their way for several decades, apart from the AfD, of course, and are very set in their ways and set in doing things the way they do. So I think also to provide a structural, maybe new impetus, Volt can break up some.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Would you say that COVID actually helped you to grow, bringing everybody on a digital level? Maybe has improved communication in certain areas, but maybe in others it has been more frustrating.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it, and you don't really know for sure. You never know for sure because you don't know how it would have went if there was no COVID. But the digital collaboration that is now more common because of COVID is actually something that we have been doing for 2 years already. So that wasn't really something that we had to adjust to, or that's now helping our collaboration. I do think that the COVID crisis and the lockdown measures have impacted our lives so immensely that the political awareness has increased a lot. And it also has shown to some extent the fragility of democracy and the fragility of our society, and how where sometimes we are responsive here, but irresponsible to climate change. There's a lot of different elements to it. But the three that I just mentioned are, for in my experience, also extra reasons for people to become politically active. So in some sense, that may have increased our growth. At the same time, we are a community, a European community, and we need to also see each other physically and sometimes have a beer together and talk and get to know each other. And that hasn't happened for 2 years, so, or a little bit less, but almost 2 years. And that has really hindered us as well, because sometimes if you're in a tougher phase of your collaboration, because even if you agree on where you want to go, you can, and what you want to achieve, you can still disagree on how you want to get there. So in any collaboration, there's bound to be some disagreements. And it's sometimes helpful if you see each other physically to get over those hurdles. So that has made life harder for us too, and definitely less fun.
And how about for you? Is that the same, Valerie?
Yeah, for sure. I think the digital sphere cannot replace the analog one, so to say. So I'm really glad that for now, for the campaign, we will be able to, you know, walk the streets and do street campaigning and also get in touch with people again and talk, because it's essential to our debating culture to democracy. But maybe to open a different view on this, I think Corona in general also means that Europe can be a hard sell, because, of course, with Corona, the association is that the European Union failed in many different things. So there is also frustration, not just with the national governments, but also with the European Union. And what we are trying to change becomes more and more evident, that, you know, we really need more democratic oversight of how European affairs are handled, that the parliament gets more power, that by the parliament getting more power, we as the citizens and our representatives basically receive more power. All of that becomes more evident, that we are more effective in decision making by outruling anonymity voting. So these things became quite evident, especially in a crisis when you need to move fast, and also when you need to move with a European lens and not be caught up in national struggles. But this is it's an interesting thing to now play in the campaign and see how can you relate to the people's concerns that they actually have right now and make them understand why Europe is so important.
Where were you actually when you were in the first lockdown? Were you in another country or were you at home? Where were you physically as a president? Like, were you hindered by it or were you easy couch potato living?
Well, so I was in my house in Amsterdam on the fifth floor without a balcony. And my working space is in the same area, same room as my sleeping room. So I sometimes felt locked in a cubicle. It wasn't ideal, but it wasn't hard either. And I mean, there's a lot of people that were living under tougher circumstances. I spent my lockdown inside my house in Amsterdam.
And how about you?
Europe locked down for the first time, I had just come back from a trip in America where I was off grid for around a week. And so, you know, how the lockdown thing went pretty fast and like, okay, COVID is in Europe. And then, you know, it went pretty well. So missing out on 1 week of information was quite a lot. And so when I came back, that was just the first lockdown, very harsh lockdown actually imposed in Italy. So, you know, you weren't allowed to go outside. You were even fined, when going outside. And like the first instinct I had was like, oh my, how is that even possible? You know, why can't they simply lock out people and, you know, even fine them if they go out? So of course, then I received more information. And I think also the fining situation in Italy changed a little bit. The law was, I think, quite harsh to begin with. But of course, now it makes much more sense. But that was the feelings that I was confronted with when I came back. And I remember it quite vividly, that it was something totally new, where all of a sudden your freedoms and your rights are taken from you, of course, for good reasons. But I think it is really a new experience.
Would you say actually that it changed also the spirit of your party and also yourself in the sense of how you look at the European issues, or it actually enhanced that feeling of wanting to change?
To me, it made things much more clear, more on an abstract level and on a concrete level. So with abstract level is what I mean, the principles of, or let's say the values of freedom, justice and solidarity in Europe, which I think make it unique. I mean, I think freedom, because I'm born in the 90s. So for the first time, you know, I really understood what these freedoms actually really can mean. And now when we looked at the debate as well, I'm not sure if it was held in the same way, for example, in Italy, but in Germany, there was the debate if someone is fully vaccinated and cannot pose a threat to other people anymore, if this person should get its citizens' rights back. And to me, to have this discussion was, I mean, impossible. This is not a privilege, our citizens' rights, their citizens' rights, their basic democratic rights. And so that there is, I think, a new component of learning. And then on the other hand, and like more concretely, what Europe means in solidarity, etc., I think that where these examples of, you know, having overflowing hospitals in certain countries and other countries taking on patients or delivering healthcare to other countries. So, yeah, things became very real.
How about you, Zane?
Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting question whether COVID changed how we view what we are or how I view what we're trying to achieve. But I was actually talking about this with a friend yesterday, and he asked me, like, you've been active for 4 years, and how's the development gone in how you view what you're trying to achieve with Volt? And the interesting thing is, like, the COVID crisis has definitely made more clear for me that the structural changes and the systemic changes that we propose for the EU are necessary. So that has really enhanced my conviction that what we are trying to achieve is the right thing. At the same time, what we're trying to achieve and the progressive ideals that we stand for, that's something that I've constantly always believed in is the right path for the best future for the biggest amount of people. At the same time, what has really changed over the past 4 years is the conviction I have that we as a movement are actually also the ones capable of realizing those ideals and implementing them and making it happen. Because when we started and when I first met the main founder of Volt, Andrea van Zon, in the Netherlands in 2017, I thought to myself, okay, I really like the idea of a pan-European movement. I think it's necessary. I think it's the right path. I think it's an idea that I fully support, but you guys have no money, you guys have no experience, you have famous people that you can use to spread the message around. So I was quite cynical about whether this could be achieved or not. But I thought at the same time, this is so important that I'm going to try and help them out. And then over the past years, actually, my conviction has grown, and I'm now confident that we can make it happen. We're with thousands of people who all contribute in their spare time, who are really trying to be the change they want to see in Europe. And that has developed over the course of the past 4 years. And it's really cool to notice that and to see how much you can achieve if you work together with a big, big group of people.
When you talked about Europe at the beginning, you said we don't only see Europe from the European Union standpoint, because you also are active in Switzerland and Albania. What is the idea?
And the UK.
And the UK. Well, for me, it's still part of Europe, even though they left the European Union. What is Europe for you? I mean, like, from what you've learned so far, it's like this blob of people in different countries. And is it also Turkey? Is it also part of Russia? What is Europe for both of you?
So to me, it's all countries on the European continent that share our values, the values enshrined in the European Union, in the EU Charter. And where we would stop as a movement is not yet defined. This is under negotiation. So where exactly we would draw the border, because it's actually not that easy. But I also think it's good that as a young movement, we leave this up for discussion with our membership rather than drawing too early a boundary.
Yeah, and in addition to that, I think for me, what's more important than geographical borders is the values that we share, democracy, the rule of law, liberal democracy. Those values, those are the fundamental rights. Those are the things that we share and that define Europe more for me than the geographical location.
So it's about democracy and human rights and equality. So what else did I miss as well? It's like there's
rule of law.
Rule of law.
Justice.
As well. Okay.
Freedom. And I think one value that is also very much a characteristic of the European Union is solidarity.
Well, we didn't see that much last year's with the COVID. So is that a value of Europe?
We definitely saw it when countries helped each other throughout the crisis and when people reached out a hand. I think, of course, at the higher level, political level, we can do a much better job. And it's also something that, of course, requires reflection and negotiation. But I do think it is a value that is with the people in Europe.
very much entrenched in the citizens, at least. Not, it wasn't, it didn't always show in the government, especially the Dutch government. As a Dutch person, I can say that the way that, especially Wopke Hoekstra, our finance minister, showed a lack of solidarity, during the COVID crisis was for me, appalling. But in general, I think for citizens and for the overall value, solidarity is part of it.
Oh, we're going to the politics, guys. It's getting heated, but we're almost at the end of the episode. So one question for both of you, and also to kind of wrap it up for today. Do you think there will ever be a United States of Europe, or should we actually strive for a United States of Europe?
Well, I think that when you say United States of Europe, there's people immediately associated with the USA, and the USA has a lot of characteristics in society that I don't want for Europe. Inequality is even higher, and there's a lot of social inequality. At the same time, the interesting thing is that the EU, on some levels, is way more integrated than the United States is, especially on economic affairs. So one could argue that in some places we're already further than the USA. So this is a long answer to your question. I think we should strive for one European democracy, and that is composed of people and not necessarily of states. So for me, that is more important than a United States of Europe.
Yeah, to me, institutional setups are never, they're a means to an end and not an end in itself. So the question that we should always ask, like, why do we want this, or why do we need this? And what we see currently is that due to external challenges, be it climate change, also because of digital transformation that is human-made but still happening, geopolitical reasons, we need a united Europe. And because we need that, we need a democratic Europe, because otherwise it is the national elites that are driving the politics that affect us as the individual citizens. And I think this is simply not fair, and this is not democratic, and this is not how it should be. And this is why I do believe we need a democratic Europe, whatever you call it, European Republic, European democracy. But I also think that, and this is what Volt has always said from the beginning, we are not for revolution, we are for reform, and we want to take everyone with us. And it is a long-term project that we are in it for the marathon, and to really achieve that in decades and not in the next few months.
Okay, thank you very much. This was a wonderful conversation with Valerie Stemberg-Irvani and Reinier van Lanschot, both co-presidents of Volt Europa. Actually, why are there two presidents in this party? This is my last question, really. Why are there two presidents in a party that are on the same level, actually?
Yeah, so we believe that society would be helped if more women were part of politics, and if there's more equality in gender representation in politics in general, and that should also be reflected within our movement. In each leadership position, it is filled by two people of different gender, and each list that we use for elections has 50% of both genders on it.
Okay, and is it also non-binary? Is that all right? Or you need to be...
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay.
That's possible. Then you can pull in one of the two different genders.
But then we need a third a third president, right?
We're working on that. That's the next step with non-binary challenges.
Perfect. Thank you all very much for joining us today, and talk to you soon.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You very much, Paolo.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of Europe Matters. Special thanks goes to my assistant producer, Antonio Mattesini. Let us know who we should interview next by writing a comment and sharing it with your friends on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn using the handle @EuropeMatters. Don't forget to leave a review on whichever podcast streaming platform you use. And if you really like this show, the best way to support us is by making a donation on patreon.com. You can learn more at www.europematters.com. Speak to you soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.